CBS Sports Radio.
All right, hour three in the second day of a two-day run, Jay. This has been a blast.
Flown by.
This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Remember that.
I got a couple tweets. Tony Patterson at Sklar Brothers. Work on driving in 100 and not driving 100.
That's perfectly said.
Jay Will then tweeted, hey, Kipnis, you should try driving in 100 runs instead of driving 100 miles per hour.
Same joke, both but all work. Equally great.
I love it.
Two great jokes.
We got an email.
Tastes great together.
From Brian C. at Sklar Brothers. Kawhi, make a decision. Bro. You're like my cousin at the Raiders store. Bro. Getting the XXXXL. You know you're not an XXL, bro.
Wear the long shorts and flip-flops, bro.
Sign Kenny Nua Nuance.
Kenny Nua Nuance is the younger son of Tua Nua Nuance,
who is
the Hawaiian Raiders fan.
Come on, bro.
I can't believe they're going to Vegas, bro.
You're making him Canadian.
Can't believe he's going to Vegas, bro.
I know, bro. So obviously just to
get
reset.
Get down from under there, bro. You shouldn't be up under there, bro.
We don't know where Kawhi's going. That's just a reset.
I know where we're going right here.
We know where we're going right now. We're talking to an old buddy of ours, someone we've worked with, someone who...
Deep, rich history, and it is so nice to just show that, to display it out like we're setting up a
buffet of sports knowledge and comedy. He is Scott Rogowski.
Host of The Changeup on DAZN and former host of on HQ
Trivia.
He's just one of the best people we know. Scott Rags, Rogowski, how you doing, brother?
Oh, hello, my bros.
Oh, Rogowski.
I'm doing... Ah, doing so well talking to you guys.
I mean,
I miss you.
I miss you too.
We watch you on TV and you're great.
On DAZN.
Thank you.
Hanging with Adnan Virk. You know we do
the best.
You know we do a podcast with Dan Van Kirk. Adnan Virk took all of his letters and made his name in Dan Van Kirk's image.
Yes.
How did that happen? He's the Dan Van Kirk of DAZN. Adnan Virk.
Anagrams of podcasting. He's got a podcast. Cinephile. He's a big movie buff.
He is a big movie buff. A great dude.
This is the only baseball show where you could get John Cassavetes references.
I love it.
I'm doing Peter Falk impressions. We're talking Scorsese. We're talking Jarmusch. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't want to say that last segment was slow moving, but we talked Jarmusch for 3 minutes.
Yes, just one long shot.
Rags, you've always been. I mean, you've always been the biggest sports fan ever, and been in comedy and whatnot. Receiving this job and getting this opportunity to do this on this network, kind of amazing for you. Tell us how it all sort of came about.
Yeah, so I've been doing HQ since it started, which was
an explosion.
2017, yeah, total explosion. That I got on an audition, just a random audition, and you know, I was set to move to LA. I was working with you guys on your Finding the Funny Scars and Stripes.
Yep.
Which is still available.
Still available on audible.com.
Yeah, sure.
So fun. And you're all over that thing in a great
way.
And
when we worked with you, we knew that you were quick and we knew that you were funny and we knew you could find comedy on your feet. I think one of the sort of watershed moments from the HQ show was when the tech wasn't working and you had to vamp. It became a Twitter moment and you did it for like 11 or 12 minutes. And I think those skills translated and
it
put you where you are now.
This job where you are right now.
Talking baseball.
Right. It's all about knowing how to...
See? The comedy. There's the comedy. Having a difficult time thinking on his feet. Comedy. We know the bits.
Think on your feet. That's right.
That's what it is. Think on your feet. Well, I want to get your take as a baseball analyst and as a longtime fan of the Mets honoring dead players.
Yeah, by the way, I heard
you still
were honored in the in memoriam recently. You, Jesse Hudson, and Jim Gosker.
I mean, what's going on with the Mets? I mean, they're yelling at reporters and telling them to get out of the clubhouse. They have the greatest pitching ever, and they can't win games. Like,
greatest pitching coach ever.
Yeah.
The oldest pitching coach ever, I should say, more accurately. 82-year-old. Mm-hmm. Phil Regan. You know about Phil Regan?
No. Talk to us.
Brian Regan's
They fired their pitching coach, Dave Island, and they hired... out of retirement, an 82-year-old former big league pitcher named Phil Regan, who was teammates with Koufax.
No way. Jeez.
And this guy, I'm serious. And this is just what you want, right?
Exactly.
A guy who you know, walks. You could break a hip on a trip to the mound. He doesn't call to the bullpen. He sends telegrams.
He rides out to the mound on a jazzy.
Look, if they run out of a baseball, they can take a tennis ball from the bottom of one of his walkers. Walkerless.
No, it's great. He's teaching the staff this new grip. They're all picking up this new grip. Arthritis. That's a knuckle thritis.
So the Mets are making decisions that maybe aren't so great. But I mean, they
but
do.
That's why I root for them.
Right. So,
this is as comedians, guys.
You got to root for them.
Appreciate this. Look, yeah. Mel Brooks said it right. Mm-hmm. There's nothing funny about walking into an open manhole, right? If you fall into an open manhole, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
But if you see someone else walk into an open manhole,
hilarious.
That's comedy.
There
that's
he
hilarious.
Goes. The Mets
so
are
we're
falling
watching
in.
The Mets walk into that halt manhole. And they've been doing it since their inception. 1962, one of the historically worst teams in the history of baseball.
And they're trying
150
to
years
that.
Of history. One of the worst teams. But Casey Stengel, lovable losers, Marvelous mm-hmm. Marv. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were birthed in a cauldron of failure, but we love them for it.
I mean,
and all the way through. Even the 69 Mets. They're honoring the 69 Mets. The Miracle Mets. They call them the Miracle Mets.
It was a
it
miracle.
It was a miracle for them to win.
Right. That's the last miracle we've seen. That's the last. That was the burning bush and then the 69 Mets.
Yes, and he had 86 was a miracle too. I mean, they weren't supposed to win that. Buster should have got that ball.
Yeah,
so, you know, even when they win, it's by the grace of God.
Right.
And this season has been spectacular with the failures and the comedy. It's Sisyphus's favorite team.
It is.
You keep rolling that baseball up the hill and it falls down.
All right. So we talked to Jonah Carey. We had him on the show a couple segments ago. I know you love Jonah. The question I have is, do you see baseball in Montreal? What are insiders saying? I mean, the Rays are going to split time like they're, you know.
Like they're your Jewish grandfather.
Or your divorced parents. Like, who gets the Rays this weekend? Do I have them this weekend? All right, you get to take them on spring break.
They watched way too much TV down in Tampa.
So
we got to get on the same page.
But, like, there's 6,000 people showing up to games at the Trop, and then I don't even know if it's called the Trop anymore. But then, and then you go.
Oh, it's the Trop.
It's still the Trop.
100% pure squeeze Tropicana. But this is, they're actually doing $2 tickets. In Tampa Bay. This week, this whole series against the Orioles, $2 tickets, and they still can't fill it out. I think, like, if you're Charlie Morton, mm-hmm. right, you're getting $15 million a year,
mm-hmm.
why not just pay everybody $1 to come to the game?
Yes.
Out of your money.
Out of your money. That's 30, 40 grand. It's no skin off your back.
30 or
and you get
40
to
grand.
A full house.
No, 30. If they're not going to, you will only spend $6,000 because that's all who's showing up. It's essentially like he's giving them. Tampa Bay is not Miami. They are actually playing well. They're a good team. And so, like,
yes.
If Montreal were to get them, and you know Montreal would, if they announced that the Rays would be the new Montreal Expos 2.0, you tell
I think
me
they'd sell out
everything. It'd be like the Winnipeg Jets. Coming back to Winnipeg, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's probably not going to happen. It's fun to think about. Mm-hmm. I think at the very least, it'd be like 7 years away. And
right.
I think this is all just the ownership trying to get leverage to build a new stadium.
That's what Jonas
said. Pretty much what they're saying. But, you know, of course, do I want to see UP back in business? Of course.
That's right.
He's
yes.
been, what, non-commissioned somewhere? Do they send him off to none of it? UConn territories? Where is UP? He's in a labor camp somewhere in the Northwest Territory.
No, we don't know. Let's free him, please.
Free Yuppie.
So, what are some of the as you've been able to dive into baseball more than you know you've always been a fan, but like dive into it this year? What are the things emerging as we head to the All-Star break? Storylines and teams that have surprised you. I mean, are you surprised how tight the National League Central is? I think 5 games or so separate everybody. Isn't that amazing?
It is probably my favorite division to watch right now. You're seeing the Brewers and the Cubs go back and forth for first. Cardinals are sitting there in second or third, however you look at it.
Three games
back.
But
I like the Pirates, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Bell, 3 home runs last night.
He's an all-star. Like, don't
He's
deny
an all-star.
Him.
I think he should be starting.
Yeah.
But he got on the team. And there's a guy who got snubbed, a rookie, who mm-hmm. very few people are talking about. He actually could steal the Rookie of the Year award from Pete Alonso, if that could be possible. I know Pete's
28
you know,
home runs.
Set the new record for home runs as a rookie. But Brian Reynolds, left fielder on the Pirates, guy's batting .355.
Wow.
Doesn't have the at-bats to qualify for the title just yet, but he'll get there.
Yep.
And he would be leading all the major leagues in batting. He's had like a couple of 20-plus hitting streaks. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal pal. Came over from the McCutcheon trade from the Giants. So They got him, Kevin Newman. Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Newman.
Yeah, very good. Another young rookie in this team. The only problem with the Pirates is their pitching, of course.
And the Reds, have great pitching. So the Reds, who are sitting in last place, actually have – if you look at run differential, which is something I do when I'm not paying attention to my kids, is I'll look at run differential. And the Reds run – they're plus – they're the best plus-minus in the division, and they're in last place because their pitching is so good.
And they started so abysmally.
Yes.
And if you look at their opening day roster, there's like nobody left from that starting lineup. Schebler, Kemp are gone.
Yep.
You know, Puig started to pick it up a little bit. Senzel got called up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this race is tighter than a claim with Lockjaw.
Yeah, all right, that's a very good.
True.
So Rags, all right, that's the National League Central. Do we feel like – I mean, are we hurtling towards the – I mean, I actually believe that the Red Sox are going to make a deep run, but are we hurtling towards a Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Dodgers, or
– Astros, Dodgers.
Astros, Dodgers, World Series again? I mean, is anybody going to beat the Dodgers? Is that what we're going towards? That's not good for baseball.
I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, man, 7 years of finishing first in division and the three – you know, would be three World Series appearances in a row. I think – you know, are they the Bills of baseball? Is that what happened? I think
maybe
the Yankees and Dodgers square off like they did in 81.
77.
And, was it 77?
And
both,
81.
Both.
And 81, 80, yeah.
81 and 77, yep.
So I think that could happen again, and I think the Yankees take it.
And the ghost.
And the Dodgers become the Bills.
Yeah, the Dodgers become the Bills. The ghost of Ron Say haunts the roof in left and right field, and then that's the end of it.
A penguin walks across the field.
And completely, it's like
the
Ron
Say? '69.
The Black Cat. That's right. No, I definitely think the Dodgers have a lot of firepower, and they are just like running away with the division. I mean, it is. I'm excited about this year because there is more parity. We're all waiting to see where Kawhi Leonard's going to go, to see if he's going to basically destroy any parity in the NBA. If he goes to the Clippers or stays with Toronto, I believe there's more parity than there's ever been in that league. But I would like to see new faces in Major League Baseball as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the in terms of teams and making it deep.
Yes.
I think the Twins are a team to look at.
Yep.
And they were my sleeper pick in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love Rocco Baldelli on a personal level.
Sure.
This guy is the youngest manager in baseball, 37, mm-hmm. the only Fish fan in baseball.
I know you went to the Fish show this past weekend. How was it?
I just saw Fish at Camden.
I love it.
My girlfriend Allie, it was her first show. It was phenomenal.
Shout out to Allie. What was what was their best song they played?
Oh my God! I mean, they started with the Curtain Whiz.
Okay.
I mean, they throwing it all the way back to like '86.
Mm-hmm.
The whole set list could have been straight out of '97, '98.
See, I know you love that, and I know you love
taking it back.
How about when Fish was on stage in St. Louis when the Blues won? They come back in the second set. They
open the second set with Gloria.
Gloria.
The intermission took longer because they were learning Gloria in the background.
No other band does that.
None.
Laura
the
Branigan.
Arena.
Laura Branigan turned over in her grave.
Is she dead?
She is dead. She's not alive.
Okay.
May Trey rest in peace tonight. He's
and
not dead.
He's not dead. We just want him to get a good night's sleep.
You know that.
There you go.
You know that.
Well, Rocco's going to be going. He told me he's going to a show during the break. But this team, the way he's handled this team with all their young stars.
They have great young
stars. Players like C.J. Cron, this guy hit 30 home runs last year with Tampa Bay. Nobody wanted him.
I mean, the fact that he is rounds the bases, runs home, and then runs home because he's got business to do.
Yeah.
Heavy is the head that wears the crumb.
It's a game of crones
in Minnesota.
It is a game of crones. I knew you'd come.
Oh, the puns fly. I love it. I love watching you on the show. It's so fun. It is such a breath of fresh air. Randy and I were just saying this about, you know, ESPN in some ways feels like it's gotten so corporate. And it's become so formulaic that you aren't surprised when you're watching it.
There's less fun being had.
We tune into the individual networks, the MLB network and these other networks.
And I know you came up as well when ESPN had all the personalities in the 90s that made watching highlights fun. I know that's what you grew up on.
So now you can be
mandatory viewing.
Yes.
Over cereal in the morning, before school, every morning, coming home.
Yeah.
The late night center. So it was part of the fabric of my life growing up, my DNA, and it's kind of surreal to think that I'm now sitting behind the desk with an experienced veteran like Adnan, who's you know, done baseball tonight. He's called the college football championship games. I feel intimidated a little bit because
he's great.
He's called games. He's been there, and I've never done this before. But I think, you know, the two of us work so well together. We have an incredible chemistry.
Yep. I love it.
And Tony and Lauren, the late night, the Cespedes guys on the weekend. And what's unique about our show is you're getting every big at bat, every big play. You know, it's red zone for baseball.
It's red zone It's called the change up. You and Adnan do a great job on DAZN. Rags, thanks for coming on. And you are at Scott Rogowski. People can follow you, ROGOWSKY.
That's right. And the show is at DAZN, DAZN change up. We just got our Twitter account.
At DAZN, DAZN change up. Guys, check it out. Rags, you are the best. Thank you for coming on. And we'll hopefully see you very, very soon.
I hope so. I love you guys.
Love you too. Brother. Scott Rogowski. There we go. Let's take a break. Shall we take a break on the show?
On the other side of the break, Arash Markazi. We will continue to talk about the news of the day from the LA Times. We'll get into it. We don't know where Kawhi's going.
We don't.
Ozzie Guillen thinks he's going to Hawaii.
Yeah, could be. Could be. He could go to the Globetrotters. You don't know that.
Yeah.
If someone said Kawhi's going to take a year to play with the Globetrotters.
Or the Washington Generals to try and help the Washington Generals defeat the Globetrotters.
I'd be like, this dude is like nation building.
I build it. I buy it.
When we come back, Arash on the other side of this. We are the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on the CBS Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Lenny Dykstra, nails. If you can find your teeth in your Nokia Pebble, call in, please.
Bro,
we'll take your call anytime. We'll knock anybody off the line.
We'll give you some chaw, bro.
800-636-8686. Hey, just want to remind people, please come and see us. We're doing our podcast, our other podcast, Dumb People Town, live in LA.
At Largo on
July 15th. If you go to supersklars.com, you can check out all of our dates. But
we're going to be at the Bankhead Theater in Livermore, California on Saturday night, July 13th.
If you're up near Oakland, Oaktown, wash away your troubles.
Sacktown, Oaktown, come see us.
All right, I want to hop on the line right now. We've got a guy who is fantastic, columnist for the LA Times. Writes about all things
LA
in the sports sense. And there's a lot going on right now. Specifically, we're all holding our breath to see if...
Where Kawhi lands.
Kawhi Leonard is going to destroy the hope that everyone had in the NBA.
Look, he could go to the Lakers, he could go to the Clippers, he could go to the Dodgers. We don't know with Kawhi.
We don't know. Arash Markazi, welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. What are you hearing, and what do you think is going to happen with Kawhi? And let's talk timetable, because we expected to hear something today. I think he met with the Clippers last night, maybe. But what are you hearing from your people as far as the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes?
Yeah, so he met with the Clippers yesterday. He either met with the Lakers today or tonight. And again, I think, and again, this is, you know, he's made no proclamation, but, you know,
nobody knows.
Probably by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by tomorrow, hopefully.
Right. Have you ever seen an athlete and his camp be so tight-lipped about something? Like, nobody knows.
No one's leaking anything.
No one's leaking anything, and no one knows what is motivating him. Can you even project to guess what is motivating this guy?
Yes, I will say, is when Anthony Davis waived his trade kicker and the Lakers went through sort of the cap gymnastics that they had to do to free up the max slot. That wasn't just to spread that around. That wasn't to go after Kemba Walker. That was specifically for Kawhi. And when they did that, I mean, there must have been some sense that this wasn't some Hail Mary pass, that they actually had a legitimate chance. And so they feel that, you know, they don't know what he's going to do, but they think that they have a real chance. And there's a sense that, you know, listen, he had a dream year, a dream season
Incredible.
With Toronto, and that was a fantastic playoffs and finals. But he wants to come home, and I think that's the sense that they get. And if he wants to come home, and certainly if he wants some help, if he doesn't want to carry the team by himself, it'll be with the Lakers. So if you're the Lakers or Clippers, I think you're cautiously optimistic that he may be leaning towards coming back home.
Right. And so then let's then it, if it is down to the Lakers and the Clippers, who does he want to be? Does he want to be the guy that walks into a franchise that's never won before and win them a title like he did in Toronto? Because if he wins the Clippers a title, that it flies in the face of the Lakers, and it is maybe when you think about how down that organization was 25 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, that is an unbelievable accomplishment. To me, that's incredible. It's like winning Cleveland a championship. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and then if you consider what would happen this summer where, you know, KD and Kyrie go to the Nets, not the Knicks, and perhaps, for right. example, if Kawhi were to pick the Clippers, not the Lakers, it would be crazy. The one thing that I will say on that front is it seemed that if you went to the Clippers, the fact that they had two max slots was always kind of very very intriguing for sure. him, because he could have gone there with KD, or he could have mm-hmm. gone there with Jimmy Butler. He could have gone there with help, because he does need some assistance here, clearly, right? He plans on doing this load management thing moving forward.
60 games, yeah, or whatever
20-some-odd games.
Right.
Listen, if you're on a quote-unquote super team where, listen, I'm going to take the night off, but it's LeBron and Anthony's going to do it. Or, like, I'm going to play, but LeBron's going to take some time off. So I think if you have a super team, you can rest. You can take 20 games off, and it's not going to hurt your season.
However, and I will make this argument.
Clippers make the playoffs this year with a bunch of glue guys.
That's right. Clippers make the playoff with a bunch
of... Lou Williams off the bench with 30, 40 points
a game. Right, so the Clippers also have the better coach. The Clippers have a coach who's won it before, and they have a great owner. The ownership, Steve Ballmer, is a guy who doesn't mind spending money. So
Steve Ballmer's a calm guy.
He's really calm with his emotions, Steve Ballmer. So, you know,
that's the intriguing thing, is that they basically rolled back the same Clippers team from last year, which was such a fun team to watch. They
sure.
won close to 50 games. They pushed a healthy Golden State team to six games.
They're
basically
know.
Putting Kawhi like on that team. I mean, that's a fantastic team for sure.
And they added Mo Harkless, which I think is...
Like 100%.
Which another is, glue
another
guy.
Another glue guy. It's like, again, I said they should be sponsored by Elmer's. It's just a ton of glue guy, or rubber cement. I mean, so if they do go there, that it does fly in the face of old school traditional. I've always said if the Knicks are good and the Lakers are good and the Celtics are good, that's good for the NBA. But Brooklyn and the Clippers, like, you know, that's a new...
This New could York, be the LA.
New York, a new New York, LA thing that could happen in a couple of years if Kawhi came there. You know, again, if he comes to the Clippers, I think it's not a foregone conclusion that the Clippers win the NBA title. I think then you have to start looking at a Boston and Milwaukee. And you can still be excited about what Utah did and what Indiana did. What do you think about sort of all of the other teams did? But if he goes to the Lakers, it's over.
It's sort of like the super team, and like, why are we going to even watch the season? You're 100% right. I think if Kawhi were to go to the Clippers, you're going into the season with six teams with like a legitimate chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
The other point about the Clippers, they've really built for this moment for 2 years. When they moved on past DeAndre and Chris Paul and Blake, it was really with tonight towards Kawhi. Mm. And when they met with him, and you look across the room, and it's Steve Ballmer, and it's Doc Rivers, and it's Jerry West. I mean, it's a very...
Jerry West, the logo.
That's a great room, right?
That is.
It wouldn't be shocking if he went there. It's not like the old school days, but yeah, I mean, they really built for this time and this player.
Well, how much better is the ownership and, you know, the governors, if you will, to use the proper term, of the ownership in Brooklyn than in New York? You know what I mean? That's an ownership.
Well, yeah, because Jim Dolan, right? I mean, he can't.
Don't sleep on JD and the shirt. Pure shots,
sure shots,
straight shots. Don't sleep on them. They'll play.
But let's not, you know, Joe Tsai, who will take over the Nets. I mean, I think he splits his time between San Diego and China. He loves hoops. He's a big tech guy. Mm-hmm. He's sort of in that Steve Ballmer, not as crazy and as excited as Steve Ballmer, but if you ever sit down and talk hoops with Joe Tsai, who will be taking over the Nets pretty soon, that's the kind of guy that you want to play for.
Yeah, that's and that's it. We're talking to Arash Markazi, writer for the LA Times. Let's just, I know we're all sort of waiting because to me, as a basketball fan who doesn't really have a dog in the race, I would like to see the NBA be as competitive as possible.
But parity.
I know parity in the league, I think, can only be good for the league. Again, I look at what Utah did, adding Mike Conley Jr. and adding Bogdanovich, and I'm like, oh, that team. Now, that team, they got a rim protector in Gobert. They've got a guy who can get you 20 to 25 points in a sneaky way in Bogdanovich. Donovan Mitchell is a kid that just keeps emerging.
Exploding.
And he's exploding. And Conley Jr. facilitating for that team. That suddenly
feels like a more complete team.
That
than
feels like
ever
a
been.
More complete team. And what Indiana did on the other side, I feel like they're mirror teams right there. So I would love to see more parity, but I know there are Laker fans going, please, Kawhi, please.
It's all about Kawhi. I don't know if you guys are the same way. I mean, like, that's the only question I get. If I tweet something that's not Kawhi, they're like, why are you wasting our time with a non Kawhi tweet?
Yeah,
they just want to know where he's going to go.
Kawhi, are you doing this?
Kawhi, aren't we talking about him?
Kawhi, are you doing this? Well, let's, again, because you're in LA and there are great sports. We're about to sort of, you know, the Rams run it back next year and we see what type of a team they have, and the Dodgers are playing. It's a great time to be an LA sports fan. This is the heyday.
It really is.
As
yeah,
it were.
And I think we're all just hoping for, I think, you know, the Dodgers lost in the World Series, the Rams lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so not that Los Angeles needs a championship because they've had an amazing run for so many years, but they're really hoping that this is a year for the Dodgers, that, you know, like the pitching staff that they got and, like, all the moves that they made, that this is finally the year. And we'll see. I'm going to Vegas, and they're the favorites. So
they
I mean,
are
what's
right
amazing
now.
To me is the load that's been taken. And maybe the Dodgers can even walk in and talk to Kawhi and say, look at the load that's been taken off of Kershaw and then how great he's bounced back from last year. I mean, what is he, like, 7-1?
I will say this, though, bringing in the Dodgers to the kind of pitch. If you want to come to Los Angeles and you don't want to get booed when you throw out the first pitch, you can't go to the Clippers. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin found
got
that out
booed.
The hard way.
They got booed.
Yeah.
They got booed.
That's,
Chris Paul got booed with his son. His son is a child. He's
that's
a
awful.
Kid.
Jay's, I know his son.
Jay's son played on Chris Paul's son's soccer team.
Yes, so I mean, know that son.
I mean, Jay booed his son, too, on the
well,
soccer
team.
Well, that's
just that because
not,
he needed to pick up his speed.
That
and he
was,
needed to come back and play defense.
That was not cool. All right, my man, keep writing it. Keep on top of what's going on.
We'll keep following you. You're at Arash, A-R-A-S-H-M-A-R-K-A-Z-I.
Arash Markazi.
Follow him on Twitter. Read his stuff.
He'll tweet stuff that is only Kawhi related until
exactly
Kawhi makes
right.
a decision. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and thank you for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, Arash Markazi.
Brought it.
Knows
and I
his
follow.
Stuff.
We follow him.
You
so.
Got it, man. I love it. All right, we're going to finish this thing up strong. We got a
Tom Cruise take.
Tom Cruise, Justin Bieber take on the other side of this break. And we're going to take you out with a little Father John Misty. We'll be back. Are we doing a little sports update here? Oh, yeah, I love it. Throwing it to our guy, Rich Ackerman. Rich, take it away, brother. This is a latest sports update with Rich Ackerman. All right, Jay, let's bring this puppy home. 2 days in a row of really super fun and great news. We could not have picked two better days than in the midst of this free agency frenzy in the NBA. And, of course, we're in midway through the baseball season. If you like what we do here, we'll be back at the end of the month. I believe we'll be here on the 30th of July and the 2nd of August. That's a Tuesday and a Friday filling in. And we love doing it. We're going to keep doing it whenever Jim is away down the basement.
In the meantime, if you dig it, check out our podcast, View from the Cheap Seats.
We've had some great guests on recently. Jordan Klepper, who has that great show, Klepper, on
Comedy Central. Colleen Wolf from the NFL Network. Julian Castro, a Democratic hopeful candidate for presidency.
But the mayor of San Antonio to talk deeply about how the Spurs affected civic pride and bringing communities together. Interesting. Cool. He's a huge boxing fan, too. So check it out. Go through the back catalog, View from the Cheap Seats. Check that out. We got takes. We got someone on the line. We'll get to you, my friend. We got someone up in Calgary.
We'll get to you, brother.
We'll get to you, bro. But there's a story, and we'll get to it in between.
You
right
want my take or what?
Yes,
Connor.
It's Connor.
No, Connor.
Thanks.
We talked about this a little bit on our podcast, but it's worth getting into here. Bieber versus Cruz.
In the octagon.
Is, by the way, sounds like the most ridiculous thing ever, like it's not going to happen, yet it keeps inching towards happening.
Well, Dana White was outside of a restaurant in L.A., Craig's restaurant, and got asked the question about it. He didn't deny it at first. He didn't just poo-poo it and put it away.
By the way, Justin Bieber's people are saying he'd 100% be on board to fight Cruz.
That's how you know who's bigger.
Yeah.
When
Cruz not responded yet. So now you know who's a bigger star.
Biebs is all in.
Biebs is ready to go.
I don't know how Cruz does it because he's like 5'1", right?
Can you put lifts on your bare feet?
And
can
go
you lift
in the
up your bare feet? Can he like... If Cruz could figure out a way to surgically put lifts under the skin of his feet,
right,
he would do it.
Just on the heel.
Remember that time we were watching wrestling on cheap seats and the referee was checking to see if there were any foreign objects and the guy was barefoot?
A guy with bare feet to see if
where
he had any.
Where is he hiding a foreign object?
He literally was just going through the motions. First of all, if
Cruz agrees to do it, Jay,
he should make some key decisions. Like if Bieber loses, Bieber has to become a Scientologist.
Oh, that's a given,
right?
Boom, you're in the Sea Org, Justin.
If Cruz loses, he has to jump on Oprah's couch and apologize to Brooke Shields.
That would be amazing. It's amazing.
Also, I think the fight should take place not in an octagon, but on the wing of a plane that's taking off.
If that happens, then I think Cruz has got a distinct advantage. He does all his own stunts. Did you know that, Jay?
I didn't know that.
No one's ever made that public, that he does all his own stunts.
I think people would rather see, and I know for the reasons why it won't ever happen, but I think people would rather see Rousey Bieber.
Rousey Bieber. I'm going to start
Or Holly Holm Bieber.
Rousey, Amanda Nunez Bieber. But Rousey Bieber, she's been out of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She's wrestling, so she's still physically
fit.
Right, but Rousey Bieber.
Just put him in an armbar and rip that thing off.
Just rip.
I don't know. I'd pay money to
watch
it. I
would say he plays an instrument, but I don't think he does. But like rip that arm.
His piano finger off.
Rip his piano fingers off.
I'd pay to watch Tom Cruise fight his inner demons.
That would be amazing. Tom Cruise
in the octagon alone.
With his own sexuality.
For two, three rounds.
Just in a Muay Thai style, just try and take a knee up to the things he's battling.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside. And the winner gets custody of Suri.
Siri?
Suri.
Siri?
Isn't his daughter named Suri?
When he calls for his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that happen? Yes. What can I help you with?
He typically just asks his daughter for like the weather update. Suri, what's the weather in Los Angeles today? She's like, I don't know because I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Who's this man asking me for things in lifts?
All right, let's hop on the line. We've got a gentleman in Calgary.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. How's it going, Blake?
I had to take it till you had to be blowing a snot bubble, but guys, it's so good to be on the air with you guys.
Thanks, brother.
St. Louis, Missouri, War the Note. Hey.
Coming at you.
My friends, Jan and Mary, they hospitably housed me 4 years ago in St. Louis. What a great sports town, man. Mm-hmm. Terrific. The Cardinals were out of town. But we toured the Bud Factory and we did Busch Stadium. But I'll tell you, Craig Berube and that whole St. Louis Blues story is a wonderful one up here in Alberta.
Sure.
Because Craig Berube, great. He was a tough guy here in Calgary. Out of Kalahoo, Alberta, 400 people, village up in northern Alberta. Great story, you guys. And by the way, Connor, it's Loser. Not loser.
It's Loser. Do you want his take or what?
No, well, Connor.
You'll just call him Loser from now on, not Loser.
You want my take or what?
And dress pants, dress shoes, you know, sweatpants and dress shoes on a Sunday morning when you go to a wonderful superstore in Edmonton, Alberta. It's a terrific city.
Sure.
But you guys, I love you guys, and you got to get your act up here to Calgary because Jay Moore's been here to the Laugh Factory and... you're very much loved up here, so
I would love
thank
so
you, brother.
So awesome to see you guys live and just do what you do and work the audience and just
keep doing impressions of John Doerr. Oh, hey, John,
Brandon's getting so big.
I think that was Jiminy Glick, actually. But anyways, my best to you guys going forward and War of the Cardinals. Even though I'm a Cubs fan,
it's okay.
I had to migrate in 2011 to the Cardinals with that wonderful.
Great
World
moment.
Series run. So God bless and all my best going forward. See
Thanks, Blake. Bye. Blake in Calgary.
Calgary bringing it from up
I'll
north.
I'll say, as Blues fans who love that team and fought for it for 47 years, good teams rooted for them, never winning. That them winning as a fan of them, that was probably one of our best sports moments of all time. So, Blake, you nailed it.
Yeah, and it was one of those moments that had to come. Like, it could only be so sweet after so many sour and bitter defeats. So many times, so many seasons when we had won the President's Cup and thought we were going to go ahead and just sweep through the playoffs and get the cup.
Or when we beat Chicago a few years ago after they'd won two cups in a couple of years and we thought, okay, this is our time. We now got over the hump.
St. Louis fans suffered for a long time with the Blues. Now, yes, the Cardinals won plenty of times. It's not like the city of St. Louis was without
a championship. But the Blues fans are a different breed in St. Louis, so it was really amazing. Oh, God. Drunk Hall. Can we just... Drunk Hall...
I think I got your number.
Okay, Drunk Hall is Fat Thor. We've already established that. That's what it is.
The question was, is Drunk Hall better than Fat Thor? The answer is he is Fat Thor.
Can we get into this, Snoop? Do we have enough time? Because we wrote takes for you, knuckleheads.
Yes, we broke down things.
Snoop Dogg is creating a real East-West battle on Twitter with British footballer Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Gaza. Snoop Dizzle against Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, right? That's what's happening.
I think that's it.
Snoop very cleverly and a little harshly, if we're being honest, use Gaza as an example of the long-term effects of alcohol abuse.
Right.
He did. What was wrong with what he did?
He said, essentially it was like alcohol abuse showed Gaza at 20 versus Gaza at 47. By the way, we're 47.
Right.
Guy looks terrible.
Yeah. If the guy's 47, he looks like he's 67.
And then Snoop showed a picture of him at 20 and then at 47 and then said marijuana abuse. So he didn't even leave himself out of the abuse equation.
He just said, this is what marijuana abuse looks like. And he kind of looks somewhat
revitalized,
similar.
Younger, faster, stronger.
He looks relaxed.
Calmer, doper.
Mm-hmm.
Gaza didn't take too well to it. My assumption is that he didn't follow it. And someone who follows Snoop but
sent
also knows Gaza sent him. So he fired back a tweet with a picture of a dog that kind of looks like Snoop with a dookie gold chain telling Snoop it's time
to get off your arse
and wake up. You know, this is where I'm sorry. You send a photo of a guy that looks like a dog. You're, between races. I think we're heading towards a place where your people know what you're trying to say, but in some ways you're driving down a racist street to a dead end, bro.
And there's no way to turn your car around.
Right.
Also, you're driving drunk.
Right.
Because you are battling whatever.
Alcohol abuse.
It's right.
It's like what it feels like to watch, and we've seen this before.
Non-comedians roast. When non-comedians roast each other,
they always go to the most base, the most basic, the weakest, the meanest, the least sophisticated rips.
And it always falls flat.
Yep.
And it feels like this is heading that way. Also, there's a little bit of an English, like an England-US thing, which is being stoked by the Women's
World Cup, which is starting in 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
And exactly. Goal. And so the women's team, which now has gotten so much flack in the British papers as they're too cocky. I'm sorry. They're good and they love it. Like, what? I'm sorry. You see women with confidence and that scares you, British press?
Or even worse, it's like the U.S., there's no reason for the U.S. men's team to ever have confidence. Someday, maybe they will. And we've always said the U.S. women's team should be paid more than the men's team.
Yeah, I believe in pay inequality. I think the women's team should be paid way more than the men. Men, if you can ever actually make it to a World Cup, then we'll talk about raising your salaries. But until then, shut up and let the women's team do their thing. Let them be cocky and walk over to England and hand them their butts on a silver platter.
Which will happen, hopefully, starting 10 minutes from now with no Megan Rapinoe in the starting lineup.
Why not?
They're sitting her. They're sitting her.
Feels like it's heading that way. And I love that Gaza's friends thought that he schooled Snoop Dogg. Do you realize who you are? An English
commenter. It's Snoop.
An English commenter, soccer commenter, said, take a bow, wow, wow to Gaza. So you know that guy's never heard Snoop Dogg.
Because it's bow, wow, wow, yippee-o, yippee-yay.
That's what he should have said.
You fool.
Snoop can write a diss track on this dude with Eminem, and then it's over. Shut it down.
This feels like when Conor McGregor was fighting Mayweather, and they had a war of words first.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like Snoop could write a diss track between spins on the Joker's Wild.
Let's have him do it. We're the Sklar Brothers.
Smoke some.
Smoke some.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alvin. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, in New York, Tom DiCelestino. Thank you, yesterday, Adam Hawk.
Thank
James
you,
James Kelly.
Dave Whalen.
Dave Whalen. All the work.
All our guests. come see us at the Bankhead Theater in Livermore on July 13th.
Just go to supersklars.com and you can
we'll
see
all you guys
dates.
At the end of the month. We'll be back here re-racking it and getting it ready for you guys at the end of the month.
Biggest thank you to Jim Rohn for letting us do this thing. It's one of our favorite things to do. Sklar Brothers, we're out. Go punch waterfalls, everybody.